Well, this message should be a familiar message because I shared it not long ago. I usually put a date on my messages. I didn't put one on this one. I guess for the simple reason the Lord was going to have me share it again. When I looked at it, I said, Lord, I just shared that. But I've learned you don't question the Lord. So obviously, maybe you didn't get it. Now see, sometimes I'm that way too. I was sharing on the way to church. I said, you know, I said, sometimes my wife will talk to me, but she's got to be careful when she talks to me because I might be watching something on Fox News that I'm very much interested in. And if I'm watching that and she's trying to talk to me, that's not working too well. Because the next day she'll say, now I told you yesterday. And you know, it's like something brand new. I thought, when I hear that, it's like, well, what was it you said? And when she told me, I thought, that sounded brand new to me. Because I didn't hear it. Now, I'll bet I'm not the only one that happens to. So obviously, when I looked at this message, the Lord said you had to share it again. I thought, well, just like me, maybe I wasn't listening. And this is a message you really need to get. You really need to get this. So if you promise you're going to listen, I won't make you move. You know, I do that sometimes just to shake the church up a little bit to get you out of your comfort zone. But I won't do that today if you promise to listen. How many of you are with me today? Good. Good. We don't got Fox News or anything else going on up here. I want your undivided attention. I want you to really listen. Not like I do sometimes. And God's got to do the same thing with me because I'm not a real good listener. I'll tell you that. I'm not a good listener. And I have to work at that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to get what we need to get from this message today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would look at this message as kind of a maintenance message. Any of you have cars that you get a call sometimes from the dealership? If it's a fairly new car, you're going to get a call from the dealership that your maintenance is due. You know what they're talking about? An oil change. They want to do an oil change on your car every 3,000-4,000 miles. Well, this is kind of like this message. I think it's important to hear it, you know, periodically. It's a good message, and it's a message that we really need to take to heart because if we don't get this message, it affects so much of our life. So much of our life is affected by it. And we really need to get this, and we really need to understand this. So how do you respond to someone who insults you or makes fun of you, ridicules you, rejects you or hurts you or wrongs you in some way? Now, I know probably almost everybody here has been hurt by somebody at one time or another. It would be fair to say that every one of you here have been hurt, from the oldest to the youngest, even the children, teenagers in school are made fun of sometimes. They're ridiculed. They say things that are hurtful, and they hurt. They hurt very much. We can be hurt by things that are said to us. And you know, like many, you immediately want to retaliate in some way or another. You ever been there? There's just some party that just wants to retaliate. You want to get them back. They shouldn't get away with it. They shouldn't get away with stuff like that. They shouldn't just go around hurting people and not have any responsibility to it. After all, what happened to you isn't right. In fact, we consider it to be unjust. And the perpetrator should be held accountable and should suffer for the pain that he or she has caused. You ever felt that way? Sure you have. We all have. Every one of us has been affected in some way or another that way. But it's what we do after that. What do you do after it? Do you keep playing it over and over in your mind? Do you keep hearing those words that was said to you over and over? Do you keep replaying it? And if you do, that's where the problem lies. It's gonna get you to the point to where you're bitter and you get angry. And you won't realize it, but that affects your relationship to you and your Lord. It affects your relationship to all others. All in how you're feeling, your attitude. Well, you might be thinking, well, maybe it would be nobler if I just stuffed that hurt deep down into my soul. But despite what you try to do to hide it, it keeps popping out, keeps coming out. You relive it. You think of the injustice. You think of the pain that you suffered as a result of what might have been said or done to you. You hope that you will eventually forget it. But you see, what happens so many times is these feelings are suppressed. And it becomes resentment. And if this doesn't disappear, it begins to fester. It'll disturb your peace as well as your relationship with your Lord and with others. The Bible tells us to forgive one another. Sometimes we still resist because forgiveness seems to let the wrongdoer get away with it. And some part of us just don't want them to get away with it. We want them to suffer. We want them to hurt like they hurt me. After all, where's the justice in that? But what we need to realize is that nothing, absolutely nothing, gets past God. He sees everything. He's well aware of what those people said. He's heard it too. He knows, and he's well aware of it. Nothing escapes him. He sees the wrongs of this world, and he says, never take your own revenge. As much as we want to do that, never take your own revenge. In Romans 12:19, let's hear what that sounds like. When I read it, you'll know that you heard it before. Acts, Romans, there we are. Romans chapter 12:19, dearly beloved. I like that language. Is referring to the church, you and I. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What does that mean? What does it mean to give place unto wrath? Anybody? Give place to it. What's it mean? Do nothing about it. Let it go. Let it go. Do you know what that means? Huh? Do you know what that means? Did your wife ever tell you, let it go? Did you ever hear that from the wife? Let it go. Huh. Oh boy, you're getting some nudgings. I'm saying that because I heard that from my wife. Let it go. Whew, I don't want to let it go. I want to get this stuff straightened out right now. I heard that when he was in North Carolina. Let it go. Let it go. All right, let me finish. Rather give place, not yourselves, but avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. It's written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So as Christians, we have been forgiven of much. And we certainly don't have any right to hold anything against anyone else, because we have received generous mercy from our wonderful, precious Lord. And so we need to grant that mercy to others as we have been given the mercy from our Lord. When Peter asked the Lord how often he should forgive a brother, Jesus told him, 70 times 7. I find that a little humorous, because I think what Peter was wanting to hear is, you know, 6 times. Then the 7th time you can let him have it. But you know, when the Lord said 70 times 7, that means always. Always. I'm sure when Peter heard that, he went, oh, really, Lord? That's what he said, always. Because the Lord has forgiven us always. Always he has forgiven us. No matter how often we are hurt by others, we should always extend forgiveness. Now we need to get an understanding of the seriousness of this issue of unforgiveness. So I'm going to give you 3 things, 3 truths about the seriousness of the issue of unforgiveness. The first thing we have to understand is the nature of unforgiveness. It is an ungodly attitude, and it doesn't fit in a believer's life. Christ died on the cross, and boy, how appropriate this message is. Today, I sort of forgot about communion until I saw the goods behind me, and I realized it was communion. I sort of forgot it, but boy, how appropriate this message is for communion. As Christ died on the cross, so we could be forgiven. And as his followers, we are commanded to forgive as he did. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And to do otherwise would be rebellion against God. The second thing we want to look at today is the consequences if we refuse to forgive. What are the consequences for unforgiveness? Well, the first thing it does, it gives Satan a foothold in your life. He's able to stir up anger and bitterness. It gives him a foothold. I didn't say he was getting in your house, because he can't do that, but he gets a foothold on you. And he'll use it against you. He'll use it. He'll try to slay you with it. He'll try to make you feel guilty and condemned, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy you. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. You see how that goes hand in hand with being angry? Don't give place to the devil. Don't let the devil have a foothold on you. Don't give him anything to get a hold on you. Try to eliminate any area in your life that the devil can use, because he will try to use it against you. The root of bitterness is like an octopus with its tentacles, and it gets into our thoughts. It gets into our attitudes. It gets into our emotions. It affects all kinds of areas in our life. And despite our attempts to contain it, a bitter spirit will come out. And it'll come out in words. It'll come out in actions. And it'll cause trouble for both us and as well as others. It'll make trouble for others as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and 15. If I put a marker in that or not. Let's see if I mark that. There we go. Hebrews 12 and 15. looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Wow. Then it goes on the next verse, it gives the example of Esau. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And he sought the Lord with repentance and tears for having done so. And then unforgiveness damages our fellowship with God. And our Lord gave us a very serious warning of this. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to lose our salvation, but it does create a barrier in our fellowship with the Lord. You see, we can't be right, as 1 John said, we can't be right with God and be at odds with somebody else, 1 John 2, as I read earlier. We can't say we're right with God and then have problems with our brother. We need to forgive. A refusal to forgive will stun your spiritual growth. You know what stun means? It'll stop your spiritual growth. You won't grow the way God wants you to grow. It stuns the growth. You see, our understanding of the word is very limited. Our prayers will be ineffective. Our worship will be empty. Our witness will be damaged, all because we've allowed this sin to grow and multiply in our hearts. That's why. You see all the areas it affects. And then thirdly, we need to begin working through the process of forgiveness if we want to be free of it. We need to work through the process. So what is the process, preacher? Well, we have to acknowledge that unforgiveness is a sin. We need to assume the responsibility for it. And rather than try to shift the blame to somebody else who wronged us, we need to confess and repent and ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to give up our rights and our desire to retaliate and to lay down the hurt and the bitterness. You see, that's the part that seems to be hard. Lay it down. Let it go. Did you get that? Let it go. Let it go. I thank the Lord for a godly wife. Appreciate, love her. She helps me. She is a helpmate, just as God wanted her to be. And when there's times that I'm not doing good, she says, let it go. Let it go. Another way to overcome our tendency sometimes, you like to hold grudges. We need to follow our Lord's example in this. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 27 and 28, love your enemies. Whew. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And when you do that, it'll be amazing how your attitude will change when we begin to bless and pray for those who hurt us. You try that and see if it don't work. That one that hurt you, you begin praying for him. You'll see immediately the results of that when you begin to pray for those who hurt you. You see, as we lift them to the throne of God, the sting of the hurt is also lifted by his grace. You listening to me? The sting of the hurt is also lifted from off your heart. This is good, good, good. Our Lord is sovereign. How sovereign and wonderful he is. God works in our hearts We will begin to see the signs of forgiveness in our lives if we allow God to work in our hearts. Remember the story of Joseph? Remember how his brothers threw him in a pit? They were nasty to him. But Joseph says that he recognized that while others might have meant evil against him, God meant it for good. Genesis 50 and verse 20. You see, God's sovereign hand works through our mistreatment, and he will give us something that we would never have otherwise. Well, like what, preacher? Like a forgiving spirit, for one. You will begin to have a forgiving spirit, which is pleasing to God. And instead of a rush of harsh feelings that arise at every time you see your offender, you'll be able to see with the eyes of mercy. And you'll no longer have those feelings toward that person anymore. The only feelings you'll have is nobody is worthy of hell. Nobody. I don't care what that person's done to you. Nobody deserves hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. It's a horrible place. It's a place of eternal pain, gnashing of teeth. And nobody, I don't care what they did to you, nobody deserves hell. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for them. You'll be surprised how your attitude will change. And so I'm closing with this. The key to forgiveness is a steadfast trust in the Lord. Our Lord knows every pain. He knows every injustice that you have experienced. And I can tell you that he will use them to shape you into the very image of his beloved Son. And if you'll be willing to surrender them into his hand and obediently step into that forgiving process, you'll be amazed at what God can do in your heart and in your attitude. But if you decide to stubbornly hang on to those offenses, they will hold you in such a tight grip that you will be in a self-imposed bondage of your own making. You will be the one that's in bondage of your own making. It's a choice. It's an important choice. It's one that we need to think about each time that we're ever hurt or somebody does us a wrong. Only God's grace is strong enough to break the bonds of unforgiveness. And if you'll remember how much he has forgiven you, would you lay your hurts and grudges at his feet? Would you trust him to handle the situation? Because if you're willing to do that, I can tell you today you'll be set free and you'll begin to live in peace once again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not looking either, because you see, it's between you and the Lord. You say, Pastor, this message was for me, and I do need help with forgiveness. Would you put your hand up? I'll put mine up, because sometimes I do. Mine's up. I'm not looking. This is between you and the Lord. You want to be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm not real good with that, and I have problems with that sometimes. I need you to help me with that. Help me to lay it, these situations at your feet. Help me to lay them at your feet. Help me. I don't want to have this unforgiveness. Take it away from me, Lord. It doesn't belong in me. It doesn't belong in my heart. It doesn't belong in my attitudes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this message today that when I looked at it, I said, Lord, I know I shared this before. But Lord, I pray that you gave them ears to hear and hearts to receive this morning. Lord, I pray that I received it. I pray that I heard it. I pray that I understand it. And Lord, these that have heard it today, I pray as well with their lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Somebody want to go back and tell them that we're going to take communion here in a few minutes? Can we have the ushers?